We're on, bub.
Live.
How about that? Good morning, everybody. We're coming to you live right here from inside the main build facility at Bubba's Exotic Motorsports. I'm Tom, and we all know the recovering, somewhat sick master, Bub. Good morning, Bub. How are we doing today?
Doing pretty good so far, man. Just working away, cranking stuff out already. A lot of good progress this morning. The work is flowing here at BEM, dude, so we're loving it.
How you feeling? Better?
Why is that light not on?
I don't know. How you feeling? Better?
No, I'm not feeling better at all, dude.
Yeah, you did stay late last night again. Yep. You finished the paintwork on the Monkey in Paradise Challenger. Yep. That thing just went up for alignment, Bub. The car that was totaled beyond repair, you took the time, the energy, the money, and the effort to make that all Mopar again, and we're going to talk about that. Ladies and gentlemen, this episode is brought to you by Bubba's Exotic Motorsports. That's bubbasexoticmotorsports.com. Please join us on our website, bubbasexoticmotorsports.com. You're going to start seeing all the exciting Nitto product line going up. We have product going up for all the major manufacturers, body kits, and everything like that, Bub.
That's right.
There's great stuff because in celebration of this year's SEMA, we have been contracted to build 4 cars for SEMA next year, one of which is going to be a Challenger.
Yeah, man, looking forward to it. You know, SEMA was a great trip for us. We had a lot of good exposure out there, man. A lot of good TV coverage and magazine coverage, calendar coverage. So we made a footprint with that S550 Mustang that all the sponsors threw into, and now we're being asked to do it again with 5 more cars.
It's going to be insane,
dude. You know, getting those things built, getting them done, and keep cranking out here all the client rides at the facility as well, man. It's a lot of hard work.
They're up there on the whiteboard. Yesterday, I talked to Glenn Steed over at Steeda Autosports. I spoke to the guys at Extreme Dimensions. I mean, I was on the phone with all of them yesterday talking about it. Some big, exciting things happening at Palm Beach International Raceway as well. Ladies and gentlemen, the show is also brought to you by Miss Outlaw Boutique. Robin and Layla have it going on at the boutique. They just ordered some new clothing for the winter line. If you have winter here, but you can still travel to the Northeast and colder sections of the world with the great stuff at Miss Outlaw Boutique. And they are located at 1200 Town Center Drive, Suite 108, 561-660-6695. Go online, MissOutlawBoutique.com, and see all the great stuff going on. And finally, Bub, the Guinness World Record holding largest cars and coffee event in the world, where the Bubba's Exotic Motorsports SEMA 17 Mustang, the world's only 600 horsepower stock block EcoBoost, will be unveiled.
Yeah, man, that's going to be a fun one. You know, that's November 19th. It's like 2 Saturdays from now, Sundays from now, whatever it is, man. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're looking forward to get out there. I know the guys at MIP are looking forward to finally getting that Challenger out there as well, so it's going to be a lot of fun where everybody's going to have a great time out there, take the rides out, show finally the SEMA build that was not unveiled yet to the public will be publicly unveiled there at Cars and Coffee at Palm Beach. So really looking forward to it, man.
It is the car that Asian, Farm Truck, Michael Anthony, all of the big wigs that were at SEMA came by, saw, and put their personal stamp of approval on, Bub.
Yep, really cool.
So it's very cool. Bub, yesterday we talked a little bit about camshafts and crankshafts and the ability to what those function. And as you mentioned, the camshaft is the heart or the body of the build, and it is where you started. This particular vehicle was sold at Barrett Jackson. It was purported to be a 383 stroker motor. However, your research has uncovered what, Bub?
It's definitely not a 383.
Okay.
So this thing, you know, just starting with basics, man, you can look at, engine casting numbers. That's going to give you a really close idea of what it is that block was cast for, what era, what time frame. This was 67 to 69. The block was itself. Haven't checked to see. There actually is a casting number on the front of this motor that may be back to the vent on this car. It is possible. So we haven't really checked that side of it yet. I am going to check. It's like a 7-digit VIN with some date stamps on it as well that tell you exactly if this motor was from this car. But if we do know it is 67 to 69 small block Chevrolet SBC. And this thing was either one of three options. It was either a 302, it was either a 327, or a 350. That's what that casting number is on the back of the block. That is what it came from. And a lot of people wonder, like, how did they come up with a 383, right? So if you took a 383 and you go with a 3¾-inch stroke from the original 3.480, just under a half inch, then you've created a stroker motor going to a 30 over bore as well. So you have to complement not only the 30 over bore, but also with the longer stroke.
When you say 30 over bore, what does that mean to the average person?
So that's 30,000ths of an inch larger in its piston diameter. So
and you don't want
to go 4-inch goes to a 4.030.
And if you go much beyond that, you start compromising the integrity of the inside of the cylinder walls. They'll blow themselves to pieces.
Yeah, I mean, you can get these things up to 60 over. You know, a lot of people do. They'll get them up to 357s, you know, even larger 360 motors. You can get them up there. This one, however, we did measure stroke as well as the casting numbers, which gave us our baseline of either 302, 327, 350. This is a 350 engine. It was a 4-inch factory bore. It does have a 3.480-inch stroke to it, so this is nowhere near a 383 stroker.
It gives you
this
what?
Is nothing more than a 350 bored 30 over. Great setup. Flat top pistons, four relief valve for the valve intake and exhaust valve clearance on the cylinder head side. So it has a great setup in it, but it's only producing 355 cubic inches, not 383. It's not a high revving, just ball busting stroker like a lot of clients really want in their cars. This is a very good build for a street car, though, with what it's set up with a 4-speed, 373 gear, going to be really fun for the client at the end of the day.
However, Bub, it was not advertised it was documented and written down as a 383 professionally built motor. So I am going to talk, I'm going to call.
Well, we knew it wasn't professionally built, by the way, it was built.
That's correct.
I could tell you that from the start.
If your timing was completely
off. Listen, if you can't figure out how to put your cam in and match it with your crank gear, you definitely don't know what you're building.
And we're going to show you, ladies and gentlemen, in just a moment, what that looks like. We've left the motor open, as we promised you we would. Yesterday, we talked a little bit about camshaft science and technology here.
That's right.
And that this lobe was completely worn down, so there was no way this could have run properly, just to revisit that episode. One of the other things that we found, ladies and gentlemen, in this build, which was a clue as to how it was built, were these two valve cover gaskets. One of these valve cover gaskets is blue. One of these valve cover gaskets is orange, indicating two different styles of valve cover being used.
Yeah.
Bub, why did that happen?
Somebody didn't care, dude. The fact of the matter is, what you're seeing here is a very quick sign of, if this was a brand new built motor with 31 miles on it, either you A, didn't buy the parts right the first time and only had one gasket, probably not the chance because they come in pairs.
That's right.
Or B, you've already gone inside of that motor previously to try to address a problem. And that was one of my first indications that there was something wrong inside of this motor, because not only did we start by seeing, just by removing the valve covers we talked about on our last episode that I went through, and just my basic fundamentals, because there was exhaust popping through the carburetor. A lot of the times that's either over revving a motor, throwing off an exhaust valve. You can go through, pull your covers up, very quick sign to see if all your rockers are in place, 16 in total on this motor. It's an 8-cylinder, 2 per each. So you have that problem there, but then when you start looking at the fact that your gaskets aren't right, you know something else is going to be wrong inside that motor. We looked deeper, we saw that the push rods, sometimes push rods actually rub a little bit on your head gaskets or on the cylinder head as they pass through where they travel, right? So you're holding it in your hand. So now this lower portion, where you can see it's been rubbing on something clearly, was on the bottom side. Well, if this was a brand new motor with 31 miles on it, there's no chance that you would have rubbed this much and had nothing rubbing on it, right? So you could already tell somebody had been in this motor, took the push rod out one way, they stuck it back in another way, and that gave me clear indication someone's already taken these out more than once.
This is, ladies and gentlemen, what we call a push rod. You can see right here, Bub, this is 8 inches long, 8 inches long, and what it does, a hydraulic lifter sits on the bottom, so when you're told you have a solid lift crank cam, you do not have a hydraulic lifter sitting underneath of it. That lifter is pumped up with oil and what keeps a motor sounding quiet. Previously, in the old days, you would hear ticking from the valve train, and you had to adjust these often because the hydraulic lifter had not been invented at that time. You will see also there's a small hole on the inside of this push rod, here and here. This is what we call an oil journal, Bub. So as the motor is running, oil is pushed up through this push rod and onto the rocker, so there's no metal-to-metal contact.
That's right. Yep.
Bub, we have here, I'm going to show everybody now, what do we have in my hand now, Bub?
So those are the lifters themselves. These are hydraulic flat tappets. Really wish I could speak for you guys right now. I hate doing this. So those are hydraulic flat tappets right now. If you flip those things over, you can actually see that is where the push rod side of it sits. The oil goes in and out of the top side of that and keeps it pumped up on the inside. So it does keep that quiet valve train while still fully functioning, opening the intake and exhaust valves accordingly.
And this pump, I'll take it here for a second, give Bub a chance to recover a second. This is the difference between a good lifter or hydraulic flat tappet, Bub, and we call it flat because the tappet is flat out top here, okay? And we can see right here that this one has been destroyed.
From being over-tightened.
Versus this one having no destructive measure on it at all. As Bub mentioned, the hydraulic or the push rod sits on top of these. These sit down inside the motor, and the push rod sits like this. On top here is the rocker that goes back and forth, that opens and closes the exhaust and intake valves, that allow fuel and air in and the exhaust out in the minute second it creates, it takes to create that explosion inside of the block. So Bob, we have here as well, this is an example of what, Bob? What do we have here?
So now you're working with Felper's Marine Gary gasket. This is a very heavy duty valve cover gasket for this setup motor. The motor itself is actually 55 to 86. That's General Motors small block Gen 1 based motors, 55 to 86. The heads that are on this motor are from 86 to 95. That was when they switched and did to a 4-bolt center bolt style valve cover, which you found a lot of on Camaros, Firebirds. They were considered L98s at the time, L88s, there were LT1s. All of these had the center bolt valve cover style. Valve covers only go on one way. It was a good design, but very nice in the fact that they are bottom stop. You need nothing more than a very nice high quality rubber or polyurethane valve cover gasket. You tighten them down, you flatten them out, and that's it.
Bub, so this marine grade gasket, as you can see, Bub said that they come in pairs, one, two. This is nothing more than sloppy work by the original builder.
Very sloppy.
Terrible, Bub. Absolutely terrible, Bub. What we have over here, Bub, as well, is this book. Let's talk about this book right here that I have in my hand.
Yeah, man, so that's actually, again, you can see it's all very themed and matched. I build with all Felpro Performance gaskets, and that is actually Felpro Performance's torque table book. What that allows you to do is on your cylinder heads, they are aluminum, again, 86 to 95. They have different torque specs of the previous years of the cast iron heads. A little heavier duty, you can crank them down a little harder. These are actually two sets, one sequence. You just start at your inside and start working your way out. That does provide the sequence in it for every cylinder head of any engine model, but also the torque specs of how tight you need to make them, whether it be 60 foot-pounds, 65 foot-pounds, 70, 75. This one's actually 60 on the short bolts, 65 on the long bolts.
And what do we have here? This is what we call a
torque wrench. So that's what allows you to actually meet that torque spec of that book.
And when Bub sets his torque wrench, there's a window right here that a digital display comes up and allows him to know, it buzzes and vibrates in his hand and lets him know exactly when he's reached the proper torque specification. So we don't throw these motors together, we take it very seriously. Good morning to the rally champion for Bub's Exotic Motorsports, Mr. Gio Hammerback, who's out there with us. Good morning, Gio.
What's up, Gio?
You're in the process of doing body kit to the BEM Racing Rally car through Extreme Dimensions, and that's going to look really good with carbon fiber accents, Bub.
Yep, really
all,
good.
All doing good. So, Bub, we're going to take everybody inside the motor now. We're going to ask our producer to get up and show us inside the motor, and we're going to talk a little bit about, we're going to let you see the inside of a small block Chevrolet and how it's coming together. Of note, ladies and gentlemen, notice how clean this engine is prior to Bub getting involved with putting it all back together again. Bub, here we are in the heart of the internal combustion small block Chevrolet motor.
Yep.
This is what we call the valve train up top here, Bub.
Yes.
You can see we left these loose so you could see how they worked. And these are snugged down, or these are, okay, we haven't snugged those yet.
No.
So how these work, ladies and gentlemen, is the push rod sits right here. This push rod, which sits on the bottom of this hydraulic lifter, sits down here, and the cam rolls around and pushes this up and down, which in turn allows these to rock back and forth. If they're loose, you'll get a clatter. If they're too tight, they'll wipe the lobes of the cam off. What you see right here, Bub, are the valve springs.
Yep.
The valves are intake and exhaust.
Correct.
The intake does what?
So the intake allows, on its opening channel, it allows air to flow into the motor via the induction unit. In this case, 4-barrel carburetor.
This would be the intake side, or the smaller would be the intake or the exhaust, Bub?
So this is actually on your top side. These are your water ports across the front. These allow antifreeze to run back and forth from cylinder head through the block, continue circulating, continue out through your water pump, through your radiator. This keeps the motor cool. You have your front and rear intake ports all the way across. So this will be on small block Chevrolet. You're working with 1357, 2468 water jackets at the rear as well. These are blocked off for the exhaust ports. A really good idea in today's world with carburetors having electronic chokes. And then on the opposite side, the side of the valve you don't see. So this one here is your intake. The one you don't see, your exhaust, is where your exhaust would actually meet on the edge of the motor. This would be where your header tube is.
Correct.
Again, 1357.
So down through the intake manifold and carburetor come the air and fuel. The explosion takes place inside the cylinder here, Bub.
Yep.
This one rocks, that just lets enough of it out so that the exhaust goes through the tailpipes.
That's correct.
We have here, Bub, these are what we call the cam and crank gear. The cam gear, the cam is much, or crank is much larger than the very small cam. 4x resolution for 1x on the crank. This is what was not lined up properly and caused all the damage to the motor.
That's right. So this is these are very important. There's multiple positions on your cam and crank gear. Many double roller, this is a double roller timing set. You can see there are two sets of teeth, front and rear. It's a double roller, very upgraded, strong setup. More than this motor needs. Would have been nice on that 383 stroker.
Right.
So at 12 o'clock on the crank itself, the crankshaft has a dot on this gear indicating top dead center. Before this cylinder head was on, you could visually and using special tooling confirm that 12 o'clock on your crank gear meets the top dead center of your piston, meaning that the piston itself is all the way up flush with the deck of the block. Once that is done, then you can go ahead and index in your camshaft, get that set in so you can line up your 6 o'clock dock on your cam gear to meet your 12 o'clock dock on your crank gear, and then you know that your motor is fully in time.
Now, Bub, let me ask you a question. Why is it that this spins faster or slower than what the crank does?
So it's just the revolution of what it takes to get all of the intake and exhaust going in and out of the motor versus what the pistons do on the longer side. There's more stroke there than there is at the top. You need to operate it in the same amount of time to get intake in and exhaust out.
And this is why, ladies and gentlemen, we were explaining yesterday to you that this timing between the cam and crank must be identical and fire at the same time. During the days of timing belts, a lot of people would replace them and get them wrong when we had what we called interference motors, Bub, and it would crush the valves and the pistons together as one, causing severe damage to the motor.
That's right.
We can see, Bub, right here, you'll be sealing the intake up right in this area.
Yep.
Up in this area here, you'll put your intake manifold gaskets on, which come in this Felpro set right here.
Yep.
Again, Bub only chooses to build with the Felpro Blue. It's the best of the best, and you never have comebacks, leaks, or problems from them.
Yep.
Those will sit up in this area here. Here, these are your front and rear intake manifold gaskets here. You seal them, you'll put it together, and you do not start the car. You leave it sit for 24 hours to seal them.
That's right, yeah. So typically it's best to let them sit for 24 hours. You do want, even though that is a maximum oil resistant RTV that we use, Ultra Black, that's done by Permatex. It's one of the best ones out there for motor sealing. Even though that is the best and it is oil resistant, you still want to give it time to harden all the way through, not just on the outside to touch, because you do have a thick quarter inch tall by quarter inch wide bead that you run all the way across the front and rear portions of the cylinder block itself.
Right. So, Bub, this is kind of the inside of the engine bay. I wanted to point one thing out. We even had Ken index this so that the flat was running the length of the width of the firewall, and that the battery ground strap, which was over here 90 degrees, is nice and straight. But let's talk, what is this piece doing? Why is it important to have it?
Yes, so that's, typically in electrical systems, you always need to have a couple different ground sources. Number one, most primarily, you need to have one that goes to your engine, and that allows for your positive cable from your battery to your starter, and then also your negative cable from your battery to the engine. That creates a full circuit there so that you have great starting voltage and charging voltage. Also, you need to have a good ground coming from your battery to the chassis of the car, the body of the car, so that you can make sure that anything that's grounded through those sources, i.e. like your electrical, your headlights, your taillights, your audio system, maybe a ground for your amplifier, wiper grounds, dash grounds, anything and everything that grounds to the car has to have some sort of completing circuit. If you were to just have your block and only your block grounded, then you essentially have floating grounds. You're trying to borrow grounds from just naturally floating through pieces of metal.
Yes.
That might be isolated through rubber. So it's always good to have a ground that goes from your engine to your battery, and then also from your battery to your body.
Bub, I want to point out how clean you get everything prior to, and the way you deck these down with a paint stick and a piece of sandpaper, 80 grit sandpaper, to make everything smooth and have a good gripping capability and flat, as well as this is all cleaned up so there's no anything left over to run through that motor that was damaged, like metal shavings to damage anything.
Yeah, that's right, man. It's cleaning your work area is most important, especially when you're working with new components. I mean, big time, more importantly, more on the fact that you're working with brand new lifters. Hydraulic lifters, they are not sent to you pumped up. They do require a few cranks to get oil running through them. I actually, after I install them and I adjust the valves, and I do pour a full couple quarts of oil in the top of the motor here before I even lay my intake manifold on. Once that's on, I know that oil's actually gotten through them. Some people pre-soak them. Edelbrock recommends to not pre-soak theirs anymore. So you go through and just follow the instructions with them, put them in. You would do a full valve adjustment, rotate the motor over, watching the exhaust valve move to your intake, and vice versa. Then you adjust them down, zero lash, quarter turn past, and then you've got something that's going to be beautiful. When you turn the key, it's going to fire right up like it should.
All right, Bubba, we'll come back tomorrow and give the viewing public what the completed motor looks like and a fire off and see how it runs.
Yep.
I know you're not feeling well, Bub. We're going to get you out of this segment so you can go sit down and take care of some of the administrative stuff that is in front of you as well.
Yeah.
We are very busy administratively in the back office.
Yep.
Bub, thank you for joining us today. I know you're not feeling well, but you wanted to be here for the fans today and to set this segment straight so people could see how a small block Chevrolet or Ford, Mopar, whatever is built and how they're, what they look like inside.
Yeah, man, stay tuned. You guys will see the final pieces of this going together and hear the way this Radical RPM Performer Series camshaft is that I bought for this. Full matching upper end on this 355 motor now, so it's going to produce a good 390 to 400 horse. Should be in that range by the time we're all done and do our final tuning. We've got a lot of good stuff that rolled out of BEM. Stay tuned for the MIP, the Monkey in Paradise Challenger that was totaled and completely brought back to life, as well as everything else. I mean, we've got lifted Jeeps going on. We've got cars rolling out of the paint shop, cars rolling out of upholstery. So we have stuff running wide open throttle here.
You never stop, do you, Bub?
That's it, man.
It's a 24-hour-a-day job. Good morning to Shannon, our office manager in there, who's watching us as well. Shannon does a good job of kind of holding us together here, doesn't she, Bub?
Yep.
It's kind of crazy, right?
Yep.
Till tomorrow, Bub.
Just keep on doing it, Bubba style.
You go down and sit down and relax. Ladies and gentlemen, this episode has been brought to you by the very dedicated Bubba and Tom. Even sick, we're here for you. Bubba'sExoticMotorsports.com. Please shop all of our online apparel that we have up, and not only that, ladies and gentlemen, our full product line that's going up by all of our major sponsors. Miss Outlaw Boutique, that's msoutlawboutique.com for all the latest in outlaw fashion and apparel, country style, five-star dinner style, everything. The Grills, Robin, Layla, have it on going on out there. MissOutlawBoutique.com, 561-660-6695. And finally, by the Guinness World Record holding largest cars and coffee event in the world. We will be there in the Palm Beach Outlet Mall, exit 71, here in South Florida, to unveil the Bubba's Exotic Motorsports SEMA 17 Stock Block EcoBoost, the world's only 600-plus horsepower Stock Block EcoBoost, on the 19th. Please come see it. The VIP setup will be out there with us. Our tour bus will be there. The rally team will be there. Come meet us in person. Get an autograph. We're actually going to be autographing some of the official SEMA pictures we're autographing in Las Vegas as a way of saying thank you to all of the fans. And ladies and gentlemen, let's make sure we reach out to touch somebody's life in a very positive way. Ooh, you know what? Let me back up. 8-1 at the Palm Beach Outlet Mall, ladies and gentlemen. So come see us. We're going to have celebrity guests on the tour bus as well. Ladies and gentlemen, let's reach out to touch somebody's life in a very positive way today. Open the doors for somebody whose hands are full. If they have holes in the bottom of their shoes, please give them a pair of yours or buy them a pair of Payless. It's cheap. And if somebody's hungry, feed them. If you don't want to give them money because you don't trust it, take them to 7-Eleven, Chevron, McDonald's, Burger King, it doesn't matter. A warm meal will do anybody some good. And let's make sure we take care of those animals out there. We have a responsibility to them. Until tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen, let's keep on doing it, Bubba style.
You've reached the High Fashion Hotline.
Hi, my husband and kids just gave me an executive order. Stylish new outfits now. Where do I go?
Get to Old Navy.
Old Navy?
Yep, get up to 50% off store-wide during Old Navy's big President's Day sale.
Up to 50% off store-wide? I won't veto that.
Old Navy's fashion-forward jeans start at just $15 for adults, $10 for kids, and colorful fleece starts at just $15 for adults, $12 for kids at Old Navy and OldNavy.com. But hurry, the sale ends soon.
Well, just call me Shopper-in-Chief. We're going to Old Navy now.
High Fashion, Old Navy. Valid 212 through 220. Select styles only.